and there's going to be instances that happen like last night. I'm not saying people are wrong for not liking it last night, but this won't be the last time there's a moment where you're like, well, it feels like he should have just, and you got to have a feel for the pitcher. They are usually going to go right off of numbers. It's going to work a lot of times too, but that last night will not be the last time people are upset about something like that.
The toughest part for Burgert's start probably last night when your cue is that was a career high in innings pitched.
Yes.
Already. Just the 5 2/3. He is not like the pitcher that we saw the night before, right? He's not Falter and he's got some innings behind him and you kind of get a sense and you know when he's good or bad or you know what he's done. Burgert is a infant in this league by all accounts, right? He has very little experience, very little starter experience. He's been a good pitcher this year, but essentially with no real background up until a point. These are the starts since he started as a starter, which was his first start this year was June 3rd. Okay, so I just want to point out that the very first start he made this year, not as a relief guy, a starter, was June 3rd this year. He's gone 5 5 1/3, 5 4 2/3, 3 4 2/3, 4. So like 5 2/3 is right at the peak. Do I think you can leave a guy in for an extra out for a team that desperately needs a win? Because they desperately needed that win last night. That was an important one. And I'm not saying going 3-3 against, like, if they win the game tonight, against Boston and Toronto on the road is some nightmarish hellscape of embarrassment. It's not. But you and I are more just talking about time's running out. Like, you can't just go 3-3 against a good team. You actually do have to beat them sometimes.
Got to play 8 to 10 games above 500, you know, the rest of the way.
And the next 9 games after this game against Boston tonight are against much worse opponents. Opponents that either matter as far as where they are ahead of you in the standings, like the Guardians, it's the Twins. Twins, mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the Nationals, then the White Sox. That's 3 teams heading in the wrong damn direction.
My favorite text of the day we just got on the show. The Royals aren't making the playoffs, so isn't this all irrelevant?
No,
you don't have to think they're making or missing the playoffs. One, they have a chance to make the playoffs. Number two, for example, last night, Burgert is someone they acquired that has multiple years of control. He could be someone that impacts the 2026 and 2027 season. A lot of the core players are going to be on this team again next year. It's also a season that has, what, like 47 games to go still? So, yeah, I don't think it's irrelevant at all. quite the opposite. This is not the Chicago White Sox who are 40 game, you know, I don't know what they are, but 40 games under 500.
That would be irrelevant.
You know,
yeah, they're 4 games out of the playoffs.
Look, for bad teams, there is irrelevance to parts of the season. The Royals are both not technically mathematically eliminated, so it's definitely not completely irrelevant. But we also admitted that they made these trades partially for next year. Every single starting pitcher they traded for also has control for next year's baseball team. So, like, they specifically Ryan Burgert, one of the younger guys with some of the bigger upside, he definitely matters.
Yeah.
And what they got out of him definitely, or get out of him, definitely matters, especially as it relates to what they would do in the offseason with Chris Bubich, what they do with the rotation next year, and a million other reasons. So, like, Burgert's, if you just want to say, I don't care that they lost 6-2 last night, you can certainly have that opinion if you just don't think they're making the playoffs. Okay. But, I mean, they are still in striking distance enough that I don't want to just say no games matter anymore just because I don't think they're not making the playoffs.